On this episode of the podcast, I have with me Naomi
Udenin.
She is the director of medical data. She actually does a lot of work on the product side, and I'll have her explain a little bit to us at Munich Re. We're going to be talking about how a background can be relevant in data science. In this case, having domain-specific understanding, where the relevance kicks in, having an understanding of how to apply LLM within that domain or within that area. Obviously, there's some advantages. We're going to be talking to Naomi about that. And also, dealing with quality and data within healthcare, that's going to impact how we use some of these technologies. Naomi, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So two things. One, tell us what the company does. And then I guess in this case, as you had described it to me, I'm going to let you tell everyone what your job entitles a little bit more clearly.
Yeah, so Munich Re is it's a large reinsurance company. It is one of the major reinsurance providers globally. And I work in the life insurance sector. We are essentially interested in processing medical data for multiple purposes, including claims underwriting, life insurance underwriting, health insurance claims processing, and so forth. My title is a little bit confusing. Technically, it's director, medical data, but I actually oversee and lead an EHR product team.
Awesome. I'm glad you clarified it. I did not do it justice. I guess before we dive in, I was going to probably bring this up midway, but I think your background is a little, you know, you're within product, you work in the data space, you have a unique background because obviously you don't come from the technical world, you didn't go to school for that, but give us a little overview of what you actually studied in schools to set a little context, because I'm mentioning domain specific. I think it'd be good for everyone to know that before we dive into the conversation, actually.
Yeah. So I don't come from the technical world in the sense that, you know, when I started going to school, there wasn't as much of a data science or at all a data science domain to come from. I started really in biochemistry, molecular biology, transitioned into getting a PhD in what was then systems immunology, and now probably would be a lot more like computational biology. And did a postdoc looking at and building out, you know, novel machine learning algorithms that sit on top of highly sparse and messy longitudinal data sets that come from next-gen sequencing. And I switched to the dark side and left academia to sell my soul to industry, where I've had a lot of fun over the last few years. And I've predominantly been working on the application of machine learning and artificial intelligence, product development in that space, but with a particular opinion and bias towards healthcare.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I'm starting to see a trend within different domains of people with PhDs that have a domain understanding getting involved on the data science side, which obviously that's what we're going to be talking about to an extent. I guess when you're looking at having that understanding, right, it seems to me there's probably some clear obvious areas where having that domain understanding makes sense. Are there things that you've noticed being in the industry and applying your background? Have you started noticing things that are clear advantages? And then also, maybe the follow-up question to that is areas that you've seen, okay, well, you know, having the domain experience necessarily doesn't maybe outweigh having more of that technical side.
Yeah, you know, I started off my industry career really feeling a little bit like an imposter because of that latter statement, right? That everybody was very technically savvy, right? And I hadn't come from, you know, one of the big bang startup schools or, well, no, technically I did. I went to Carnegie Mellon, so I feel like we're a good feeder school for that. But I didn't come from one of the fangs, right? So I wasn't an early employee of any of those big companies. I wasn't really like a coding wizard. You know, scikit-learn did not exist when I went to college or grad school, and only towards the beginning of my postdoc started becoming very popular. So I definitely felt as though my domain knowledge wasn't nearly as valuable as I know now that it is. So I think what I ended up learning is that it's very simple to understand how to use all of the fancy tools we have available to use as data scientists today, right? It's very easy to run a model with one line of code and input some data into that model and output some result from that model. What becomes significantly more challenging is understanding, first of all, why even run a model? Second, what model should you run? Third, what data should be provided as an input to that model? And fourth, what any of this actually means in real life, right? How do you act on this observation or this output that you're producing by the model? And I think this is really like the crux of where the domain-specific knowledge gives you an unfair advantage. There is no quick solution to getting that knowledge other than just doing the time and putting in the work in that space.
Yeah, and I guess as you look at different industries, you know, obviously there are some that you could come in with educational background, some maybe less so. In the case of healthcare, you obviously can have a background in healthcare and continue and kind of apply that domain. When you're looking at underlying data, understanding the meaning, I was joking with you that at one point we actually were working with a biopharma and I had to place an immunohistochemistry oriented limbs person. It took me a little while to research. I had to, but I understood that the person did, but I'd be honest with you. I mean, that was my level of my understanding was at that, you know, high level, you know, semantic understanding of this function. But when you're looking at data and within data products, data science, and you're looking at understanding the underlying data so that you can drive more meaningful results, right? Everyone wants those quote unquote drive business outcomes. When you're looking at the underlying data to achieve some of those goals, kind of walk us through that relationship to the data.
Yeah, well, I would hope that the business goals would be very well communicated before data even exists to look at, right? Is where I would start. I think what you just said is often where I actually end up starting, which is that, you know, a business has a ton of data. A business also has clear objectives, you know, make more money, for example, is a clear business objective. But everything in between tends to be extremely hazy, poorly defined, and kind of offloaded onto whoever comes into this problem next, right? Which just so happened right now to be data science. So now we are taking in an individual in between the business and the data and asking them to solve the problem of figuring out how to put that data into some output that moves some levers important to make more money for the business. But the real problem is that nobody asked that question before collecting the data to begin with, right? So the data could be entirely irrelevant to what's important to the business. A really good example of this is something as simple as Spotify Wrapped, right? So Spotify Wrapped, the amount of data that you need to generate that type of engagement with a product and the amount of, you know, value brought on by something as simple as a year-end summary, basically showing three metrics that they track about you, is very, very limited, right? So what you really need to understand is like, what is the user going to do? What do they want to do? What is the problem we're solving for them? And how are we making it so that it's addictive, right? This solution is addictive. They're going to not even understand how they lived without the solution beforehand. That's in reality the only thing that you need to collect data for, right? And when you look at it through that lens and really force yourself to sit down and stop solving every problem for every user in every possible way, and therefore collect every potential metric, right? it becomes much easier to tie that data back to business value.
So a couple of things there. Actually, well, before we continue with the main theme of the topic, I'm going to make a little bit of a slight off ramp here, because I think you mentioned something really interesting. And, you know, you mentioned the business outcome and the gap to actual delivery. Obviously, the number of the success and failure rate of technology projects has been well-defined. Like, we don't need to look into that. We know the issue. And you said something very intriguing, that when the business outcome gets defined, from that point, there's a particular reason they want something. And to go actually do it at the technical, tactical level, you have to also understand what you had to have collected along the way. If you understand how to turn a wrench, I'm going to use a very crude example, you can obviously turn a wrench, but now understanding and having the experience of knowing the pressure, the amount of force, all those things are small nuances that require some understanding, and I guess, you know, maybe not domain, but understand the domain of each nut. I mean, like, you might screw up a bolt by turning it too hard, too slow, all those little nuances that exist within, let's say, healthcare, is using your background experience. That gap is typically not filled by someone that has a PhD within a healthcare-oriented discipline. It is somebody who comes from the technical side that's worked in data in insurance or healthcare for a long time. So they have domain understanding. They have what we consider domain expertise. But an understanding at the level that you understand, where you could potentially translate some of those understandings, and like you said, the data points, you have to have enough foresight or enough time to then know you either have the data points to support the business outcome, or you have to say, hold on, we're going to need 2 years to collect this data to be able to come back to actually help you with this. Is that really what you want? I guess, you know, there's a lot there. I threw a ton at you. But I guess first things first, that gap from business outcome, the desire, to the actual goal and delivery of some solution that drives that gap, how much of an advantage, and you touched on it, but how much of an advantage is understanding that underlying data help in your type of a role within that data space?
I don't know as much how much of an advantage the data itself brings as much as the understanding of what type of data even answers the question you're trying to ask, or what that question is really trying to ask. So back to your example of the wrench, which I really like, it's almost never an issue to figure out how far to turn the wrench and tighten the bolt, right? What's hard is understanding, do you need a wrench? Are you trying to tighten a bolt in the first place? Or actually, are you trying to fix a coffee machine and none of those tools are even involved? And so, like, what are you doing with the wrench? I don't know what to do with that wrench. Like, I have nothing to apply it to, nor is it relevant to my problem. That's where the domain expertise really comes into play. So when somebody, you know, in healthcare, let's say, what I love is the health tech solutions trying to compete with Epic, one of the major EHR providers. But he's like, oh yeah, the reason healthcare isn't solved is because doctors can't figure out how to write code. No. If doctors wanted to sit down for a little while and figure out how to write code, that would be the easiest part of their day. The hardest part of their day is trying to explain to somebody how they came to a decision, right, based on a set of observations that can occur, and somebody else can come to an entirely different decision based on the same set of observations, right? So that type of domain expertise really starts enlightening you as to the challenges in healthcare. The challenges aren't even that the data capture is bad, for example, or doctors are not compliant, or it's all focused towards billing and payments anyway, and so who cares about the patient? None of it has to do at all with the fact that we haven't loved cloud architecture software or mobile phone digital apps or any of that, right? That's also very, very superficial. Fundamentally, the problem is that it doesn't really, it's not super clear actually how any data connects to biological or medical outcomes, period. And until that type of an understanding at the foundation exists about a domain, there is no technological solution and there's no data quantity or magical model that's going to help you reach any sort of target that you're aiming to reach, right? So it's not the tool that's the problem, or the lack of a tool, or the lack of understanding how a tool works. It's whether you need a tool at all, and if so, what that tool is or should be.
I love that. I actually think you took where I thought I had lost everybody probably on this episode about my wrench example. You got it and you picked it up. So I appreciate that. You actually added a lot more clarity to the conversation using it as a baseline example. When you're looking at, you know, business outcomes, and obviously you want to implement, in the most cases, you want to implement technologies that can facilitate that outcome. I think that's a lot of what we need. Maybe not always, as you mentioned, you even need to, you know, turn the wrench. When you're looking at that and you're looking at data's role in some of those outcomes, because obviously we're hearing a lot about generative AI, AI solutions, which obviously implies some previous decisions or future decisions on data, data quality, data governance. There's a lot of implications that we won't unpack in this episode. But when you're looking at where data sits within healthcare and the understanding of data quality, because obviously there's decisions that have been made before you, right? Obviously the software engineering team has technical debt, and they get to say, we have technical debt. That's why our product branch has gone crooked. In data, we actually don't necessarily have a term that's technical debt per se. We just say data quality is the issue. I think in software engineering speak, it's data technical debt in a way. I actually had somebody on from the chief people officer side, and we talked about how they don't have a term for technical debt. And I said, you should too. We should all have a topic, because I think it's a very good frame of reference that decisions were previously made at times. And now you as a leader come in and you have to make decisions based on that. So you're being held accountable for decisions that you might not understand, that you might not be aware, or business needs have changed and they render them less valuable. When you're looking at those business outcomes and you're thinking about what solution to apply, and you're looking at the data and looking at the data quality, how do you communicate that to a stakeholder where there might be a gap from, hey, we are not going to be able to provide you with X because we do have a deficiency in data?
Yeah, I think that actually what ended up happening is like 99% of my career has been stakeholder management as a result, right? Because of what you just said. It's not even a problem with, oh, we don't have this data necessarily, or this data is not clean enough, or it's messy, or, you know, it's difficult to interpret or get or whatever. Actually, it's a problem in healthcare, at least, of, you know, why do you make the assumption that there's inherent value just in this, you know, any data that you may have, even if you have very little data, right? There is this inherent assumption of value. And I think there's always a way to derive value from information, but you need to be very strategic about how you do that. So one of the things that I like to do when I manage stakeholder expectations, right, is ask, you know, what are the stories that we're trying to tell here? So imagine, right, what's the outcome that I'm going to take as a result of analyzing data, being very vague about which data, what analysis, and like whatever the technical, you know, jargon would fit in that conversation. What I want them to think through is, okay, if we have this analysis, right, if we go through it and comb through it and find interesting insights, on which of these insights will they act and how will they act on them? So in medicine, for example, right, if we are able to process every EHR and get the entire longitudinal view of humanity over the course of a person's life and really truly predict some outcome, what is the action that the executive will take if they see, you know, something indicating that the outcome is worse and or better, right? What's that next step?
It's interesting. I actually have I have not done this roundtable. It's a roundtable I've had on the books for two years. I haven't set it up. It's about storytelling in data. And I guess anybody in data would always tell you, if you want me to tell a story, I'll find the data to support whatever story you want me to tell. That's not hard. You can
the story. Which story it is that you want me to tell? That's the difficult part.
And I guess if you go back to that story and you go back to the business outcome. So software engineering, there are particular features that want to be implemented because they have high value to some stakeholder. And you can ask them, I need to do X. They don't really care how you particularly put that feature on the application. They just want that feature there. You have a lot of room. Within data, if a leader comes and says, well, I want to see this. As you just said, what is that story? Why are you telling it? And what side are you potentially looking to bias towards? Because depending on what you're trying to prove on that business outcome, you could bias the story very easily to support your narrative with little data or a lot of data. You actually made a great point. It's not about data quality, the amount of data. Which side of that story do you want to sell? And will that result in the actual execution and outcome and delivery? Because I think, again, software engineering, I need this widget feature there, done. Data, I want to know something about supply chain, something very particular. Now, what about that do you need to know to make an actionable decision to actually then result in some kind of monetary impact? And I think in data, that's, as you were saying it, I was thinking back to my own time in BI. I was like, wow, that was one of the hardest things because I'd always be stuck. And how do they want to tell this story? Because the graph is going to look not very different, but how we interpret and look at that analytics is going to be superiorly different.
Yeah, I mean, I like to call this tying a dollar to the question, or maybe in this case to the answer, right? Which answer is the dollar tied to? Because that's the story effectively that you're trying to tell. I feel like this comes off crass, or maybe it comes off crass, I'm not sure. But people like to call it everything other than tying the dollar back to the answer, but really that's essentially what it is. But at the end of the day, you just have to, you know, take a hard look at the underlying motivation, right? What is the underlying motivation? It doesn't matter to me, right, as the data person, why you have this. You don't have to justify it to me, but you do need to understand it and communicate it back to me, because I can't like figure that out right from some much higher level conversation about some outcome you're trying to see.
I quite like that. I'm going to borrow that, by the way. I'll put an asterisk in my head that it's owned by you, but I will borrow it. I think it's a great way of articulating that. I had wanted to dive in and talk about, you know, advanced technologies, LLMs. I honestly think that that'd probably be a little bit of a left field move in terms of what we talked about. I think you kind of covered some of that stuff in terms of, you know, the data and the story. So I think we'll have to have you maybe come back on a separate episode if we want to dive into how do we actually then layer advanced technologies on top of data? Because obviously you want to tie that dollar back to the question. So I think maybe we might have to have you come back to shed some light on that part of the topic. If somebody wants to reach out to you, Naomi, to kind of pick your brain on anything you said, mention, what's a good way of contacting you?
You are welcome to view me on LinkedIn. I am a social media hermit and very bad. So other platforms on which I appear, I make no guarantees about. But yeah, please feel free to send me a message, shoot me a note.
Well, we'll make sure we include your LinkedIn handle on the show notes. Again, thanks for being on the show. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's it for the episode. We'll be back again, different guests, different topic. Until then, two things. One, I thought this was a fantastic conversation. I'm starting to see this trend, especially in hiring within data for more domain-specific backgrounds. So share this with somebody else. I think it's a great great topic we covered. Like, subscribe, comment, leave a review. Let me know how we're doing on the show. I'd always want to hear from you guys. Appreciate that. Until next time, thank you and goodbye.